This podcast is sponsored by Merkle B2B. Curious to know how Merkle B2B can connect you with the right audience? It's not magic. It's the integration of data, technology, and creativity. Discover more at MerkleB2B.com.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, March 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Did your last visit to the gas pump make you cringe? Americans fed up with rising gas prices might be giving more thought to buying an electric car. But there's a lot more to consider than just the cost of refueling.
If you're talking about the cost just to make the switch, you're going to have to consider, are you installing a charging station at home? Because that can add a few thousand dollars to the price. You have to think about your electricity bill.
On today's show, it's gas cars versus EVs. We'll size both up with our reporter Rachel Wolf and find out if it makes financial sense to make the switch. That's after the break.
The world's best-run companies count on GEP software and services to transform their supply chains, meet their biggest challenges, and gain serious competitive advantage. GEP.com.
As gas prices approach record levels, some people are not only rethinking their driving habits, but also whether it might be time to ditch gasoline altogether and buy an electric vehicle, or EV. But does it make practical sense to buy an EV just to save on gas? WSJ reporter Rachel Wolf looked into it, and she joins me to discuss. Hey, Rachel, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So, Rachel, most newly sold cars are still gas-powered, but the demand for EVs is growing. So, what does that mean for people who might want to buy one, and what's that like right now?
So, it's hard to buy any car right now, but some auto experts say that it's especially hard to buy an EV. So, you'll likely face long wait lists for a Tesla. That could mean anywhere from a few months to a year.
Why are they so hard to find?
One expert I spoke with from J.D. Power said that EVs are particularly hard to find because the total aggregate number of them is so small. They make up a relatively small share of the market. That share is growing, but as it stands, there are relatively few necessary parts and specialized laborers needed to produce electric vehicles.
So let's say you found one and you're ready to make a purchase. How does the base price of an EV compare to a car with a gas-powered engine?
So the base price of an EV tends to be more similar to your average luxury vehicle than to, say, a standard sedan. So Kelley Blue Book has the average transaction price for an electric vehicle around $63,000, and that data is from January 2022. And that's about $15,000 higher than the overall industry average in total, which includes gasoline-powered vehicles, hybrids, and EVs. And the overall industry average is about $46,000. So, you know, you have EVs, which are about $63,000. You have luxury vehicles, which are about $65,000. And then you have the normal overall price for any car, which is about $46,000.
Now, we often hear about tax credits involved with the purchase of an EV, you know, to help bring the price down. How do they work?
So tax credits are great when they're available, but they are not always available. So federal credits of as much as $7,500 are available for only the first 200,000 EVs sold by a given automaker. So Tesla and GM have both exceeded that limit. So if you buy a Tesla or a GM electric vehicle, you will not be eligible to receive a federal tax credit. Other automakers like Toyota, Ford, and Nissan are approaching that 200,000 electric vehicle limit, but haven't reached it yet. So depending on when you get an EV from one of those brands, you might be eligible for that $7,500 credit. Hybrids could also be available for a tax credit of up to $7,500, but it's based on the size of the battery. And state and local tax credits might also be available, but those vary.
Now, let me ask you about a practical concern with EVs, and that's charging stations. In some cities and towns, it seems like there's a gas station every couple of blocks. Charging stations are showing up in more places, but in reality, how easy is it to find one?
It really depends on where you live, and it's getting easier. But as it stands, they can be hard to rely on. And I think that that's a big consideration for people who are considering making the switch. Gas might be expensive right now, but at least people know that they'll be able to get it charging on the go tends to be less reliable. So Biden's infrastructure bill is planning to address this in part, and they're planning to put in a lot more fast charging stations, specifically targeting interstate highways. So it's definitely getting better. We're seeing them more and more. But I will say that J.D. Power found that 80% of people who own an EV charge primarily at home. So where people are finding that EVs are great are for the local driving when they can charge up at home. And that's when you're really seeing the savings.
This might be a silly question, but if I own an electric vehicle, can I just plug it into an outlet at my house?
That's not a silly question at all. You can plug any electric vehicle into any standard outlet. You just won't be able to get very far. So a standard outlet will give you between 3 and 5 miles of range an hour, which is not very many. But people do it. Some people do rely on just your standard wall outlet. And, you know, they figure that they're only driving so many miles in a given day. They can keep it plugged in when it's not in use, and it works for them. Many EV owners, though, upgrade to what's called level 2 charging. So your standard outlet gives you what's called level 1 charging, and that's between 3 and 5 miles of range. Level 2 charging, lot speedier, between 15 and 40 miles of range, but that requires a higher voltage outlet, 240 volts versus a standard outlet is 120 volts. And that's the same outlet that say your dryer or your electric range would run on. So, you know, it's not a totally new, you likely already have one of those in your home, but you'll probably have to add an additional one in your garage or outside of your driveway. And so installation costs for that can really vary, can be a couple $100s if you just need to change the wiring. With older homes, you might have to actually upgrade the fuse box if there's not enough capacity, and that can run up to $4,000, electricians say.
All right, so we talked through some of the financial considerations of gas cars versus EVs, but what else should someone thinking about making the switch consider? And what's the bottom line on cost?
Obviously, you have the upfront costs, you have to consider insurance, and industry experts say that insurance for an EV is likely to be higher than for a standard internal combustion engine vehicle, and that's because the parts and labor needed are more expensive if you were to get into an accident. But maintenance costs for an EV tend to be lower. That's because things like the air filter don't need to be replaced. But if you're talking about the cost just to make the switch, you're going to have to consider, are you installing a charging station at home? Because that can add a few $1,000s to the price. You have to think about your electricity bill. A lot of the calculation of owning an EV versus owning an ICE car on the whole depends on where you live, which vehicle you buy, how much you drive, and a variety of other factors. So the overall calculations tend to be imperfect, but Consumer Reports found in a fall 2020 study that the total cost to own an EV versus a gas-powered vehicle is slightly lower during the six-year span drivers own a car on average. So that means that EV owners will see savings between a few hundred and a few $1,000s during those 6 years. Where EV owners really start to see savings is over the entire lifespan of a car, which is about 15 years and 200,000 miles. And there, EV owners will see savings in the $6,000 to $10,000 range, according to Consumer Reports.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf with us. Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from the Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.